welcome to another episode of Alien Agenda. I'm your host, Tony Tior, and I have my co-host online, Ron Watkins. Ron, thank you for joining another show of Alien Agenda.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great. And we have another cool dude on the line. We have the lead singer, Hayes Robinson, from the band Electromagnetic. Hayes, thanks for joining.
Honor to be here again. Thank you very much.
Hey, I was listening to your music the other day, and I really started getting into your, a couple of your songs there. Robert Frost poem, you know, The Road Less Traveled. I think that's really cool. I think it's kind of like reflects, you know, the show. I think this is a show that's a road less traveled. So today's topic, for the listeners is going to be, we're going to talk about the updates from Ron Watkins on Alien Leak, some of the new things that's going on with that. And, this is actually a redoing of the introduction because the show actually went off target. And we ended up talking a lot about, you know, how hard it is to get the truth because, you know, we're trying to get Alien Leaks information, people sending us stupid files and viruses and crap like that Ron's getting. And, of course, he's being very careful to protect anonymity. His solution is designed for that. But also, you know, it's almost impossible to get the truth. And, we led into a little bit, which was interesting because right now, you know, Dr. Fauci and the whole COVID-19 thing is kind of blowing up with this Wuhan stuff. You know, we got into a little bit of politics of that. So I think it's going to be very interesting for the listeners. We're going to talk about, you know, these documents and we're going to talk a little bit about COVID-19 and the ramifications of what I think is a whole big cover up and lie on COVID-19. And I know America is pretty polarized. So if you just came here to listen about UFOs, you're going to hear a lot about UFOs and Alien Leaks. I think it's a really cool show. You're also going to get some politics. And if that's going to turn you off, then I don't think that's good. I think you should keep an open mind. But if it does, you know, then you shouldn't listen to the show. But I think we have a really, really cool show today. So Ron, on the documents that you've been getting, could you give us a little bit insight onto what you're getting and what you're thinking about putting out?
Yeah, so the first document we got in was like a lewd picture.
An anatomical body part is what you're saying? Because you told me what it was.
But anatomical body part, lewd picture.
No surprise. No surprise.
And then the second thing we got in was the virus.
Well, that's great.
And then, I did the reverse engineering on the virus. What it was trying to do, and
really,
it was a tracking thing trying to get my IP. So
really, you're right.
Yeah. Trying to figure out where you're at.
So they're trying to get your intellectual property. I'm joking. I'm joking, Ron. I'm joking. Tell people what an IP is.
They're trying to find my IP address and maybe get my physical location from that if they can. But I know a bit about malware, and I decompiled the thing, and I figured out where it was trying to phone home to, and then I loaded up that phone home thing into Tor, and then I pinged it through Tor. So they got an IP, but
they're like, holy smokes, we got the IP address of Julian Assange in prison, and you're probably screwing him up, and they're probably like, holy smokes, it's from Julian Assange. I'm just kidding. So basically, what you're saying?
They got a Tor exit node IP.
Because they know you're onto something that they don't want you to be onto.
Well, but why did they need your address, Ron? Like, what are they hunting you down in the Philippines or your worldwide travels or what? I mean, like, so they basically want the IP address so they can screw up your equipment, probably, and like put viruses on your computers and network and shit like that.
Yeah, right? you never know. It depends on the skill level of the person sending the malware. So,
well, most people
and what they have in the back of their mind and what they want to do to you, whether it's just some nerd in Minnesota or somebody that's a federal agent of some sort that's in some group that nobody knows about.
Yeah, but Hayes, here's the other thing. We this is a rerun of the beginning of the show because we kind of screwed up earlier. But if that file, like if Ron just takes that file, say like it's a PDF file, for example, he says, "Oh, this is cool," and he's not like intelligent, and I know that he is. And people, you know, in the media trying to say he doesn't have technical skills, which is the biggest bullshit I've ever heard. I mean, so, but like, he could just post that file, Hayes, if you think about it, right? And then anybody who downloads it, you know, they're going to know everybody who downloads that file. And then they're going to get a list of everybody. So it's not just Ron. I'm sure the government, you know, if they want to find Ron, you know, they can probably track him 24/7. You know, I mentioned this later in the podcast, you know.
Yeah, they probably already are.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sure they're
monitoring me. Yeah. So I don't do anything illegal. So, I mean, I don't exactly welcome being monitored, but I'm not afraid of it. So.
Right, you're a target because you speak out for the masses, and a lot of people in this day and age don't want to because they're afraid of not just being shamed, but the repercussions that come with that.
Yeah, but it could be more than this, Hayes.
I'm not afraid of being shamed. That's
and neither am I, or being come after if somebody thinks that I'm related, I'm tied to you, and that we know each other better than we do, or wow. Tony and I.
Hayes, here's the thing. Look, I think you're thinking too deep on this, to be honest. I think that, like I said, I think the government can get any one of our IP addresses if they really spend a little bit of work. I mean, they ain't that stupid. They are. And then the other thing I want to say is that the file, you know, is a way, like if it's posted where people download it, then everybody who downloads it and looks at it and opens it up, you know, as a PDF file, it runs some kind of, you know, code on their computer. Then the government or whoever's tracking, they can say, oh, all these people are interested in UFOs, you know, or all these, you know. So I don't want to focus on this. We're going to talk more.
Well, no. I publish anything on the site, it's all going to be sanitized. So even if there was some like embedded virus or something in the original source document, I'm going to sanitize everything before publishing.
Well, not a government.
There's not even, don't want to take any risk in that regard.
I don't blame you. And that's very smart. And you and I talked a little bit about that, you know, offline. You know, so I think that's really smart. So, you know, I mean, they can send you stupid stuff. You know, they're going to have to be smarter than that. But in any case, I think you got some cool files. And we're going to talk mostly about the Gateway document, which.
Yeah. The very first document, like actual document that wasn't a virus or like lewd picture, was about the CIA Gateway project, which was like 1980.
They published the paper in 86 or something like that. So it's probably like in the 70s and 80s that they were doing some research, and they published it in the 80s. The CIA, it was an internal document, and then they actually released it to the public, I think, in 2001. And interestingly,
2003, yeah,
around that tough time frame. And then only recently, in the last year, is it picking up any steam? Maybe it was like memory hold or whatever it is. You use that term, Ron. But tell me more about that. We're going to talk more in the show about.
I think it was TikTok kind of kicked it off recently.
Yeah, I don't know. Well. You know,
so the document is about it's about telepathic powers. So it's a really technical document that explains how to tap into in inner powers of your brain to communicate over long distances, just via your mind, and to see things. Like even through time, like time travel and stuff, it's very, very strange document.
I read that thing, and I mentioned this on the podcast later on because, like I said, this is an interjection, you know, because we cut the introduction earlier because there were some issues and quality issues. I don't know if the government's hacking us or what, but this one I hopefully will come out clean. Ron, I think that's one of the most powerful documents. I think that when you showed that to me, it blew my mind. I was like, wow. And then they had the missing page, which was discovered by Vice. We talk about that in the show too. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to cut right here and let the regular podcast continue. I think we've cleaned up the beginning and explained some stuff that we want to explain. And I think the quality is good now. So I'm going to stop the recording.
Can I talk a bit about the Naga though?
Yes. Naga? Okay. I'll keep on and I'll splice that in. So let's just keep, I'll cut this off. And then, so anything else that you, you know, anything else, Ron, that you think was interesting that you wanted to bring up?
Right after we got that Gateway document, talking about how to communicate with your brain across long distances and across time even. Just a few hours later, a monk from the Himalayas emailed me and said that he's in contact with an alien, and he talks to the alien using telepathic powers, and that they want to do an interview.
Holy shit. I mean, so this is really weird. Do you think either this is like really telepathic abilities, just like zoning in on you and this whole alien leaks thing, or maybe it's the government trying to, you know, make it look like that. So this guy is saying that he is able, and I believe that telepathy, I write this in my science fiction, the only way you're going to communicate with aliens effectively is through some telepathic kind of communication. So he's saying that he's using telepathy to communicate with an alien in the Himalayas. Now, how does that relate to alien leaks? What does he want to do? He wants you to talk to the alien? I know it's going to sound crazy, but what's the next step here?
Well, I said, let's do an interview with you and your alien friend. And then he never got back to me. So maybe he looked into the future and thought it was a bad idea and then decided not to reply.
Or maybe
I don't know, but I'll follow up with him again in a few days.
Or maybe the Delta Force sent in a squad team and said, listen, buddy, you can't be talking about this shit. I mean, who knows what happened? Maybe he'll get back to you. Or maybe your communication was blocked. I mean, it sounded like a genuine email, right? Like it was a sincere.
Yeah,
it
was genuine and sincere. And obviously English isn't his first language. So he was either using some kind of translator or something. But the point was made and I understood what he was saying. So.
Well,
hopefully he gets back to me.
Well, I believe it. I know everybody's going to think this is crazy. My old show used to be called Crazy Curious Minds because I saw some of the stuff we talk about just sounds crazy. But when you look at the facts and the data, it's not so crazy. I mentioned on a podcast, it's called CE5 that we did with Hayes and Chad. You weren't on that podcast, but and we talked about, you know, the ability to use this Stephen Greer stuff. We've talked about Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, which is all telepathic kind of astral projection, remote viewing. And the one experience that I had was on an airplane. I mentioned on that podcast how, you know, we were flying probably over like Nevada or that area there. And the plane was just like, it was a really, really bad flight. One of the worst flights I'd been on in my life other than like a military helicopter. And I got a little bit nervous and I was meditating. And then I saw something like in my mind, it was like a telepathic communication. Something like flew by the ship, flew by the airplane. And I saw it in my mind and I said, man, this is like nuts. I go, my wife's like, what? And I'm like, I think there's a UFO outside the right side of the plane. And she looks at it and she says, holy shit, there is, you know? And she goes, look at it. And I go, I don't need to. And I was like, she goes, why? I go, I could see it in my head. I mean, it's just really weird. It's one really weird experience, but I mean, it's also possible that I did post-hypnotic suggestion by saying that, you know, so who the heck knows what really went on. But I believe that telepathy is there, and that's the way that it's communicating. So let's see what happens, Ron. Boy, that would be one hell of a podcast if you or YouTube video if you could get this guy on the show and he could actually, you know, communicate and hear what, you know, an alien species has to say about planet Earth. But we're gonna cut here. We're actually going to move on to the show. So for folks listening, you might seem like that this might not be a smooth transition, but hopefully this is a smooth transition because we had to redo the introduction because of some technical difficulties. All right. Well, thanks guys. I'm going to stop recording.
Just for the people watching, the files that were sent in so far have not been any classified or actual leaks. So far, all we've gotten was like open source stuff that has been memory holed. So like actual documents the government did put out, but never really published. So they've kind of been forgotten to time. Okay. And then some people dug up those documents and sent them in. Hmm. So it's we didn't get any actual leaks yet, per se. But there was a lot of good information that came in. So.
Yeah, you know, no, and I've seen them. And Ron was nice enough to send them to me, at least most of them, without a virus. You know, he already had analyzed it. But, you know, joking aside, like I always say, we joke on the show a little bit. But the files that I looked at, you know, the ones that he sent me. Fortunately, he didn't send me the screwed up ones, but he sent me the other ones. You know, it's very interesting. I found that the CIA gateway document that was sent in to be, you know, absolutely fascinating. And it was interesting that there was also missing a page. Ron, you know, you said that they're open source, and I checked that, and that's true. That looks like the CIA put that out already, but they were like missing a page. Could you explain a little bit more about that one document that came in?
Yeah, sure. So, sorry, I've got allergies right now. So, like in the 70s or 80s, the CIA, or maybe even before, the CIA was doing like experiments into ESP and telepathy and being able to remote view and stuff. And they wrote down all the theory and techniques and information about how to do it into a document that they released.
You know,
and the document is really eye-opening. Apparently, there's like extra dimensions that we can access via meditation, and it's very, very intriguing to read through it. And I believe a few months ago, it was quite like a sort of a viral hit on TikTok or something, and people realized there was a missing page, like page 25. And I believe it was Vice that managed to get that page 25, and they published it also. But there still isn't that much information about this document out there.
Well, you know, I mean, like, joking aside, and you know, I think, you know, you gotta have a little laugh in life, because what a mess of the life that we live in the world today, you know. So I think a little humor is appropriate. But, you know, putting all that aside, when I looked at that document, I was like, holy shit. Because I've been studying you know, like the concepts of telepathy, remote viewing, astral viewing. I'm familiar with the Gateway Project at the CIA, Ingo Swann, and all these guys. I've talked about it in my book, Extinction, Extraterrestrial Empire Extinction, because, you know, Ingo Swann and these guys actually admitted to working, you know, on remote viewing and whatnot. But it's fascinating, because when you put the science to this document, like, a lot of people will think that, like, oh, it's a cult, you know, you can see somebody's mind or this or that. But the truth is stranger than fiction in many cases. And that document uses a scientific method and explains, you know, how a mind is capable to traverse, you know, space, time, and all this stuff. And they did a scientific analysis. And I find it interesting. I think it was in 1986 they completed the study, and they put it out, I think, in 2001, from what I said, and they deleted the one page, which looks like it came from the Monroe Institute, who was doing some of the research. I think that's where it came from. And then Vice, I guess, got it from the Monroe Institute, because nobody had ever asked them for it, and it was, I guess, unclassified at the time. A couple questions, Ron and Hayes. Why do you think the CIA was so involved in this kind of stuff? And how the hell did something like this get declassified? And then it gets declassified in 2001. My other question is, then why the hell does it take like 20 years or whatever, you know, for it to become popular? And it's like one of the first real documents that you get sent, even though, you know, it's so those are three questions here.
Okay, well, not long after this document came in about Gateway, maybe within like 12 hours, a monk from the Himalayas sent me an email through his disciple and said that he is in contact with an alien race and he communicates with them through telepathy.
Holy shit.
So is it possible the CIA was using like meditation and extra dimensional communications to talk with alien creatures? Because, I mean, this monk was claiming it, and I promptly replied to the monk, and I was like, hey, can I interview you and your alien friend? But he never replied.
Wow, Ron, I mean, like, if you think about it, right, and I have to wonder, like, if you believe in telepathy and remote viewing, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but after the research that I've done over the years, I firmly believe in it, and I've written about it, even most recently in my last book, The Rise of Eonus. And like I said, I wrote it in Extinction, big time in Extinction and the last book. I believe that it's there. The question is like, did the monk get the second guy to send you the document or vice versa? Or was there any, do you think there's any kind of connection between the monk and the doc? I mean, like, it seems like everything is just so coincidental. I mean, or is this some kind of like, is the government trying to screw with you, you know, and just send you documents just to throw you off the trail? I mean,
I'm not sure. It could be any of those possibilities. And I actually did a bit more of research into this, into this out of body communication with extraterrestrials methods and stuff. And the CIA put out a lot of documents about it actually. And, yeah. We're going to be releasing some of those documents on Alien Leaks. And you should know that they are open source and available already. So this isn't like some super secret document that's never been released before, but it's something that I think more people should be aware of. And we're going to be publishing them to help raise awareness for the project and like some of the techniques and stuff that are there, because apparently this is how you're supposed to communicate with extraterrestrials.
That's really interesting. So here's the funny thing, Ron, people are going to say, okay, so you're posting this one document. Actually, I think when I looked at it, the CIA only had 20, like they're missing a page. So nobody ever put the whole thing out. I think Vice said, here's the missing page. I don't think actually somebody's put it up, pasted it all together. But then people are going to say, okay, so you're putting out a document from the CIA. Do you trust the CIA source? Could this also, you know, we also realize, I'm not saying that it's not. I actually think this is a real document from what I read, or they did a really good job of trying to make it look like a real document that was done. It looks like the Monroe Institute and these guys are real, and they do have these tapes for meditation and ways to increase your ability to like do remote viewing and telepathy and all this stuff. I mean, boy, this is some really weird shit, Ron. And I think you've hit onto something. Do you think people will reject the first document because it's from the CIA and say, listen, you're not supposed to give us bullshit and you're giving us stuff from the CIA? You think we should trust documents posted by the CIA? What's your thought? Why would they do that? Like, why would they put something true out like that? Were they forced to?
Well, the document is quite, it's quite fantastic. And it talks about things that have been like systematically discredited. And why would they go out of their way to discredit this kind of thing when they're writing like huge documents about it and spending years and years of research on it? The only thing I can think of is they're trying to keep the secrets to themselves. And perhaps there was like an order to declassify some documents and some like CIA funky or whatever was looking through them. Oh, what's this? Oh, it's bullshit. Okay, just publish it.
Now that I believe, you know, that makes sense to be frank, because that's a powerful document. I mean, Hayes, I want to get another perspective on this. So Hayes, you read that document, right? Or at least maybe, probably your wife, because I would say she's smarter and definitely better looking than you.
She's a hell of a lot smarter than me. she read it all. I read almost in all of it in entirety. And I've also read excerpts and other documents referring to it. And I think Ron's right, but I think that they initially used it I think they used it for spying and stuff. I think it was part of their spying program, and they stumbled upon the ability. I think when the extraterrestrial stuff came in, I think some of their people received messages that from a place that they didn't think they expected to receive them from. And then they went on. Why they would release it, I mean, looking at these docs, these look like they were put through an old fax machine or something at some point in time and degraded. So that makes me think that they're real. Also, I know of other programs that they had that were tied to this that I've read about in the past, in the past research.
Well, the good thing about this is that like nobody
heard of the Gateway Docs before when I researched these other programs.
Well, the good thing, Hayes, about this is this is clearly like if Ron's document is from some like researcher, like, I don't know, you know, Boeing or Lockheed Martin or someplace like that, you know, and these guys have signed like an agreement not to disclose it, then, you know, it causes a whole bunch of issues, not necessarily for Ron, because he's just a journalist receiving documents, but for people who send stuff that they're not supposed to send. So nobody can say that the first publication of this of alien leaks is going to be something that is going to cause like send somebody to jail. At least I hope not. I mean, it's public. It's on the CIA's website, for Christ's sake. But one of the things, getting back to that, was that, you know, we were joking around about the virus and stuff like that. But Ron, you know, there was some news, not a lot. And if I'm a researcher, right, and I see that the website supposedly went down for a little bit, obviously people were attacking the Alien Leaks website. Couple questions. One, why do you think it's being attacked? I mean, I think I know why. And then two, how are people going to feel comfortable if you're like a physicist working on anti-gravity and you're trying to protect your anonymity? You know, I mean, shit, you know, we're getting like oil pipelines, you know, hacked and crap like that in the U.S. I mean, it seems like we're trying to blame Russia this or whatever. I know this is more on the political front. This is not really a political show, but I know you've been involved, you know, in certain comments in that area. I'm just curious how a researcher hearing, if they heard that the site was down for a little bit, going to feel safe.
Okay, well, on the site, we don't keep any logs at all. So access logs, there's nothing. Poster logs, there's nothing. There's no way for us to know who visited the site. So if someone did hack in, they wouldn't get any like sensitive user data because there isn't any. I have no idea who sent us anything at all. And the up order is over Tor only. It's only available on Tor. So,
well, explain to me what Tor is, because you know what? You know, you're like a computer genius, even though some people try to say that you're not. But after talking to you for a few times privately, I'm like, holy shit, you know a lot about security. Could you, and I worked like in the technical industry for many years, so could you explain to people why Tor is important?
So Tor is an anonymous anonymizing protocol. So it builds up your connection to something called like an onion, where it layers a bunch of like networks together. And then once you get into the Tor system, they don't know what you're doing exactly. So you get into the system and you're essentially anonymous inside the system, as long as you don't do things like log in and then dox yourself or something. So,
right. Well, that's
just don't like log into your bank account or.
So, I saw but that
yeah. you can upload files like to Alien Leaks, and we won't know who is sending us the files over Tor, because there's no way for us to know.
Okay. Now, wasn't Tor an early like way to download movies illegally and stuff? Or am I?
I mean, I suppose you could use it for that, and there certainly are people that do that.
Because I was aware of Tor a long time ago, but through friends that were, you know, doing things online.
Hayes, are you saying that, like, don't get on the show here? Are you telling me that Hayes is just worried, Ron? He wants to know if he can get busted for downloading videos on Tour.
No, I don't do that. I actually did a while ago. Honestly, that's why I think I used it as a part of the function of the way to get documents is mainly like research documents. Honestly, I saw
yeah.
Sleeping movies.
So yeah. I don't want to look at your research documents. I'm just joking. But, you know,
that was years ago. That was in, back in the after days.
But hey, by the way, Hayes, I did a little research on this too. It looks like Tor is used by WikiLeaks and these guys because it just anonymizes the user if the user isn't completely stupid. Like if you just use it to browse the web, upload a file. But if you start going in there and using your email and this and that, and I think people can put two and two together and figure who you are. But I think it's, you know, I think for the good use of Tor is that it allows people to anonymously do
upload
research.
Upload and download.
Well, and do research. Like, do you want like your company to know, or like the government to know that, like, say that you're a reporter, right? And you're trying to figure out which government official's crooked and they work for like, say, the NSA. they're insane. The CIA got all these tools. They'll just hunt you down. You know, they want to know, like, if I was those guys, I mean, and you were evil, because, but the ends justify the means. Like, they don't care about your privacy. So basically they can say, you know, let's put out some tools to see if anybody's investigating us. If we see a lot of hits on the NSA and corruption for NSA, then they're going to start monitoring you, because maybe guess what? You might be going to write a report bad about the NSA or the CIA. And that's this proactive stance. It's so, but if you're a reporter and you want to avoid that, you use Tor. And that's, I think that's why, you know, Julian Assange, you know, recommended Tor. So Ron, you're only allowing, yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, the CIA runs their own, like, the CIA official site on Tor. Or on the Onion Network, anyways. And actually, their server is down. They have to restart their server.
So, Ron, did you get pissed off at them? So you screwed up their server too? Is that what happened? Is that what you're bragging about now?
But their server is offline. It's giving an Nginx 5.0x error.
So let me ask you a question: why are you connecting into the CIA server, Ron?
I wanted to click through and see if there's any information there.
Okay, cool. Well, that way you can get it anonymously, which makes sense. Yeah. Okay, so you know, hearing what you said and whatnot, I mean, I think a person who gets
The CIA that's listening to this, please, like, make a ticket to fix the web server.
Well, guess what, Ron? I'm not posting this thing for a day or two, so the server's going to be down for a day or two. Or hopefully the NSA, who's, like, real-time recording this, will send them a note. Hey, boys, send your buddies at the CIA a note. Ron found out your server's broken.
Also, this is Schrodinger's podcast.
Oh, this is that's you know, I once worked for a company. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I worked for a company and on a project consultancy, and the guy was like, I said, I think your server's hacked, you know, and the guy's like, no, it's not. How could you say that? You're a new consultant here. And I'm like, well, you know, I mean, I could show you how. And he's like, what? Go to this link, which is on your server, and take a look at the files, you know. And we're in a meeting, like, and, you know, he clicks on the file and you hear, like, some girl breathing and stuff like that. And he's like, holy shit, how did this get on my computer? I'm like, it's not on your computer, dude. It's in your server center. You're a host for porn files.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In a similar vein, I discovered that the Runback ballot printing company was hosting, like, a Viagra and Cialis, like, a online pharmacy through Canada on their website. I believe it was old.runback.net. And on their website, they claim to be, like, experts in computer security and network security and stuff.
And then there's,
I thought that was interesting.
That's funny.
So,
right?
I mean, since they are experts, like, self-proclaimed experts in network security, the fact that their network is selling Viagra and Cialis means they did that on purpose. Like, they're purposely selling Viagra and Cialis.
Yeah, sure.
On the old.runback.net subdomain, which perhaps is identifying the demographic that needs or might most
need Viagra, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's being run out of a reputable company out of Somalia, right? No, I'm just kidding.
No. I think they're based in Arizona. They did 30% of all the mail-in ballots for the U.S. general election.
What?
Yep.
So, Ron, let me ask you a question. Do you think we have election problems going on here in the United States if that's happening?
Well, I don't know for a fact, because the audits are still ongoing and nothing has come out conclusively. But I did identify a few problems, and I was very loud about those problems that I did identify. And
well,
I'm pretty sure the auditors are looking into the things that I identified, and maybe they're going to prove my hypothesis to be true.
God damn it. I told you to keep a low profile. You know, I can't even hang out with this guy, Ron. You know, hey, I want to tell you something. You know, we go to look at a UFO site, right? You know, in Japan, cause it's like kind of memory hold, right? So we get to this, you mind if I talk about that experience, Ron, just a little bit?
Well, yeah, but let's put a bit of background into it first. That's super.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. What's the background on that place? Because I kind of checked it out, and it looks like it's been there for quite a while, and it actually looks like some is still possibly buried underground. It's kind of got a pyramidal shape, you know.
Well, the I knew. Yeah, okay.
So
go ahead, Ron.
So there's this race, I guess, of humans that live on Hokkaido, the island of Hokkaido in Japan. And they've been there for a long time, like way before the Japanese that you might think to be Japanese have lived there. So apparently they've been there for like 100,000 years or more even. And they're like a hunter-gatherer nomad type society, and they really focus most of their like efforts into this one island in Japan.
And they look Caucasian. They got like they're tall, they're white, they look Caucasian, they're really hairy, they're kind of like me, you know, an Italian.
Massive beards.
Yep.
Yeah. And the women tattoo their faces to look like they have beards.
I noticed that. I was tripping out trying to figure out what the hell they were had on their face.
Well, hey, so they're called the Ainu, and I was interested in them years ago. I visited them like maybe, I don't know, 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, and I actually got my picture in like the national newspaper because I was like the only foreigner there for this Ainu event. And I didn't really speak Japanese too good back then, but I had some translations. And they were telling me some crazy shit, and I'm into science fiction, so it really got me excited. They're like, yeah, they believe that they came from another star, there was a war or something, and they were just transplanted on this island because they thought it would be safe for them, as in the middle of nowhere, and nobody would bother them for a while, and then they could assimilate or something. And I'm like, and I was looking at them, and I'm like, they did look alien. Like, I mean, they're humans, but, you know, they just didn't look like Japanese. And I'm like, how the fuck did they get here? You know, and so now what happened was me and Ron were talking about this. We're, you know, and we decided to go down and take a look at this place, and they're called the Ainu. And because of the UFO stuff, like this, you can't find this on an English site. There was this thing.
You can barely find it on Japanese sites.
Well, that's true too. It's called the Hayo Pyramid, or, you know, and
the Hayo Pyramid.
Yeah, well, that's Japanese. Americans aren't going to know what that means. But, you know, the Hayo Pyramid and the Hayo Pita in Japanese language or whatever it's called. And they built this thing, and they had pictures of UFOs and aliens. They say that pyramids would fly there and all this other stuff. And I mean, like, this became a big thing. And then it's like, and then something happened. They either got to the leader, or the leader went nuts or something, and they shut the place down. They say the thing turned into a death cult. I mean, this is a great way to scare people, right? So they, you know, so they shut the place down, but it's right next to where like the first leader of the Ainu supposedly landed. I mean, it's some weird, weird fucking place, Hayes. I think you would like.
So there's like these two mountains. They kind of look like boobs, and it's just like a flat ground and like these two mountains that just pop out, and they look like boobs. And then right across the river from that, like in a triangle, in like a triangle formation, is this Hayo Pita place where apparently the first like god of the Ainus showed up and began teaching them how to farm and like a live life civilized. He taught them how to farm and fish and all this stuff, and then he got back into his rocket ship and then flew to China.
Crazy shit, man. And then
I mean, then that's their history. So I'm not even making that up. That's just like,
no, I know, Ron. I know, that's why I went there with you, you know. But what I was gonna say, Hayes, I keep telling Ron to keep a low profile. Now, I don't know, like, this is the middle of nowhere, Hayes. So I want to ask your opinion on this. So you tell me what you think happened. We get to the location where there's an entrance, and it's actually a public entrance, and there's a sign. And I get there, and I'm like, yeah, I want to go inside. So I go inside, you know, and he's out there, you know, taking pictures of the stuff. And within like, I don't know, a minute or 2 minutes, this like government car pulls up in the middle of goddamn nowhere. I think they were going to arrest Ron. I was going to hide, you know, up near the pyramid or something, near the, you know. And so, but I said, nah, screw this. So Ron's yelling at me. Anyhow, I gave away my location. Thank you, Ron. So, you know, so I had to fucking walk. Yeah. So what I'm wondering is, you know, that town's only got like 1,000 people, and we're in the middle of nowhere. So, Hayes, let me ask you a question. Do you think Ron's being followed? I just want to know for my own safety. I mean, how could they get there within like 2 minutes?
Well, you know, who knows? And they've got cameras everywhere nowadays. Is that me?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Sorry. That was actually some ancient Ainu people's music. To change the subject about your conspiracy about how they were watching you the whole time and coming to get you because, you know, the white man and everything. The Ainu people, they worship the bear. And then when he said they came from space, I'm not sure which all Asian cultures, but the great bear is what we know in America as the Big Dipper. And I think there's some Asian cultures that said that their elders came from there, and their the people that taught them the ways and everything. So I'm curious if the Ainu people, where they said they came from, if there's any information that either one of you know, or if there's any information on that site that you went to that kind of pointed to any celestial location in our known skies.
Well, it gets even weirder, Hayes. It gets even weirder. So this is why I tell you this story. So these guys down there, like, you know, and they're like, snakes, big snakes. And I'm looking at him, I'm not a snake. You know, he's no, snakes all over the place. And he's trying to scare me. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll get out of here, you know. And then like cop cars are driving by. I'm like, what the fuck?
You know, three squad cars showed up like within 5 minutes.
But was there other
in the middle of nowhere
there checking out, you know, other tourists?
No.
You got to be kidding me, Hayes. Nobody can fly out there. Me and him could barely get out there. I mean, let's get real, you know. I mean, like, but it was just kind of weird with all the cop cars. I just said, let's get a sandwich. We went to get a sandwich and all these cop cars come flying down the road, this one road, and it only goes to like mostly that. I mean, there's two exits. They could go one or two different ways. But I mean, I suspect they were going to where the foreigners were hanging out, and we're eating sandwiches. I'm like, this is some weird shit. One cop car, then another one goes by, and he's, hey, look at that one. That's a squad car. I'm like, oh, that's probably our special treatment vehicle.
So there's no one there but you two, and then police and security are showing up all of a sudden.
Within 2 minutes of us arriving there, yeah.
Well, you flew in, and did you take
We drove. We drove in. We didn't fly into. There's no airport in that town.
You drove Hayes. In.
There's no airport in that town.
I'm not sure where it's at. I thought you initially.
It's in
said
southern Hokkaido. It's in southern Hokkaido. It's an Ainu village. It's called the Black Villages nearby. But here's the other interesting. So then Ron wants to go, looking around, which I did too, and then we find these signs talking about Genghis Khan of all crazy shit. Genghis Khan.
Look very very Mongoloid. The Ainu culture. And Genghis Khan tended to have more facial hair than the traditional Japanese.
Well, apparently what happened was there was this guy named Yoshitsuke. I believe his name is Yoshitsuke. And a Japanese dude, or maybe alien. And he got into a big war in the middle of Japan and then like ran away from the war and went to Hokkaido to this spot where the Hyo Pyramid is. And then according to legend, he got in a spaceship and like flew to Mongolia and became Genghis Khan and then took over the world.
Now, Hayes, I know this is going to sound crazy, Hayes, but you know, I got you on the line. I know you're into this stuff, but you know, they actually wrote this shit on like a sign out there, you know, yeah, near this pyramid place that we went to, this Hyo Pita, you know, location. I mean, this is like a hot spot of some really weird, weird stuff. Weird
and
stuff.
That's so bizarre that it's so little known that it was that desolate, and you were no wonder. I mean, they probably spotted you guys miles away going, there's only that road's only going to one place.
Well, it goes a couple roads there, but don't get me wrong, there's a little town, so you can actually go to other locations. But the point was, it's not like super desolate. There's roads there, okay? But there's like 1,000 people or less. I can't even imagine 1,000 people living in that town, to be honest. But
it's like a one road town. There's like a shop.
Yeah. So of course they followed you in there.
Well, but
because you know, for all they know, you're going to go desecrate the place. You know what I mean?
Desecrates. It's already been desecrated. The thing's falling apart. They won't let anybody in there anymore. I don't know why. It's a really weird place, man. Huh. Really weird. Like they got you know, and then this is gonna sound really nuts. So I took a drone there, right? A really nice drone. And by the way, it's a legal drone, which you know, I don't want to deal with the hassles, you know. But some of the top legal drones are actually very, very nice. They can go 1,000 feet into the sky. So but you know, so we took some videos right next to it. I wasn't on top of the place, which also keeps me within legal distance. I was over like a river area where there was like no people, and I got it pretty high and I couldn't really see the top of the mountain where that pyramid was at, but I took a video And, you know, it was kind of weird. I got a white light arc, and this is when the drone was not moving. I mean, something looks like it jumped out from like part of the near the river, some white light beam, and had these distinct stopping points, and landed like in the very same kind of position on the water on the other side of like this like river and little landmass. And then it went, so I haven't analyzed it. I mean, the drone wasn't moving. I mean, of course it's shaking in the wind a little bit, but it's got stabilizers for the imaging and whatnot. And it's got a good 4K video camera it built into it. I looked at the images. I mean, like, I don't know, maybe there's some light reflection, but it was kind of weird. So I got a weird video there that Ron's going to take and either post on his site or I'll post on mine. And then there was one more story. We met an old lady, you know, and she said, she's like in her 80s. She said, yeah, she'd been to the location when she was a kid, but it shut down. What year did that place shut down, the pyramid, Ron? Do you know?
I believe the 60s.
Jesus Christ.
Or maybe 76 or 70s.
Maybe, I think it was the 70s. Maybe, I have to read online. But it's a weird spot. And she said she got nervous, which I thought was interesting. Maybe she's nervous because, you know, she's talking to a foreigner who speaks Japanese, but she's like, but you should go down to that black village. And I'm like, you mean like the Ainu town down there? She's like, yeah. She's like, a lot of them have a lot of talks about this stuff, you know? Yeah. So I think I want to go back and talk to somebody I knew, if they'll talk to me. I mean, I know they speak Japanese too. Besides, I mean, I could never speak Ainu. So, Ron, was there something else that somebody told you, you read that like there was a guy in town who sold trinkets or something, who like said he was abducted or something like that?
Oh yeah. So when the Hayo pyramid was like still open to the public, there was an Ainu guy who sold souvenirs at the pyramid to tourists that came to see the pyramid. And while he was asleep one night, he woke up and he saw like a UFO flying through his room. And I believe it was a size, he said it was small, like maybe less than a foot in size. So 30 centimeters or so. And he said it like flew right by his head and either like downloaded the information from his brain or like scanned his brain or something and then went away.
So
he was like, I'm not going to say he was probed by aliens, but he had like an extraterrestrial visitor that visited him in his room.
Eventually probed by a drone. Yeah.
But in the 60s and 70s, there weren't really.
Yeah. Well, not our drones, not a, you know, human drone. Yeah. I think that's what's behind a lot of these flying orbs and stuff that people see a lot of times. They're small. They don't necessarily have to, you know, be terrestrial being in a craft that comes down. I mean, we're just now getting into drones. So I imagine they could have microscopic drones, you know, all the time. There goes one now. I thought it was, you know.
So, Hayes, question, you want at one time, and you mentioned this in another podcast, so I don't feel uncomfortable mentioning it, but you were at the beach one time in PB area or something like that, right? Where you saw, must have been an alien craft, and it came close to you guys and shined like a beam into your faces. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
What color was the beam?
It was a super pale blue, and it was a very strong laser light that you could see the whole laser throughout. It's, you know, as it went through, it was like almost like a solid object. Yeah, and that was it saw us, and I had some telepathic communications with it. There was an immense, overwhelming feeling of curiosity coming from it.
Uh-huh.
And I was actually with a friend, and when we said, hey, you know, what the heck is that? What the heck? And we finally said, hey, I said, you know, that's a UFO. And hey, take us for a ride. And in that instant, the laser went right onto my face. And then after about a second or two, it immediately went off. And then the UFO went from where it was floating towards us back against the wind, the opposite direction. It started moving more north. It was came from out east in Pacific Ocean to the west coast. Okay, so it was moving east, coming. So I'm standing on the west coast, looking out towards the Pacific Ocean, towards Japan. It was coming towards us.
So let me ask you a question.
Anyways, it saw a guy in a boat, and then it messed with the dude in the boat, the laser right on him, until it was right in front of us again. And it looked like it reminded me of a Chinese lantern, like made of rice paper. It was very delicate and light, and the central part had definite windows that were illuminated and rotating counterclockwise.
So
as the rest of the ship kind of floated in this the classic pie shape with the center windows that moved.
So did it, do you felt like it downloaded like anything from your brain, like one of your songs or something like that, or anything? Do you feel like
But it definitely knew that my friend had a bad knee and basically told me, this experience is pretty much over. Don't run down the beach because you're only going to end up hurting your friend's leg, and because his knee's sore. And
is that true?
Bizarre. Totally bizarre. And that all came, you know, mentally, thoughts, you know.
So you could feel that so that must have been a really strong telepathic.
The craziest thing was the overwhelming feeling of being saturated with curiosity, and like the scene was just so curious. It was really hard to describe. And I was staring at it super strong, trying to see if I could see anything in the windows, the illuminated part that was circulating. I did not see anything.
You know what they probably said?
I don't believe I lost any time.
You know what they probably said, Hayes? They probably said, holy shit, we found a band lead singer. We've never met one of those before. You know, they got
in. No, they're like, that's that guy that won't shut up, that keeps asking us to show ourselves.
Well, so we'll show him once, so he shuts the fuck up. He's driving us nuts with all his telepathic communication. Well, you know, I don't. Well, so what Ron's saying.
And I could have hit Ron, I could have hit it with a rock. That's how close
it is. You know, in a similar vein, a person from, I'm not going to say where, but in America, a person in America sent me an email saying that she saw a flying orb in her yard, a yellow flying orb in her yard, like zigzagging through the trees. And so she went out and took a picture, like multiple pictures of it, and then just like went back home because she was scared. And she sent those pictures to me, and I did like spectral analysis of them, and I adjusted the levels and stuff so I could see clearly what the orb was. And when you look really closely at it, it does look like there is some kind of alien face or something inside it.
Inside the orb, Ron, you're seeing an alien face inside that picture. Well, if you could,
I'm not sure if we're going to be releasing that in AlienLeaks, because I want to be able to get a few more of
your
incidences in before publishing the pictures, because if it's just one person having that experience, it could just be like a fluke or.
Yeah.
Or something. But if multiple people have a similar experience with like similar alien looking creatures inside these orbs, then we'll have a set, which would be much more scientifically rigorous to publish.
Well, if you think, when you say images of somebody, like I might have mentioned this on another podcast or not, but there was a time in San Diego in the middle of the night, we saw like seven orange, yellow, like lights. It could have been orbs. They were so far away that who the heck knows what they were. I took out a high power, binoculars that I had, and I could have sworn I saw like little white lights popping out, at least one or two of them, and they were going down to the ground, and they were like smaller orbs, you know? So it was really, you know, I mean, maybe some pyrotechnics going on and I missed it, but I seriously doubt. I really think there was some really weird looking stuff. But
I've seen similar in San Diego with and then gotten binoculars out where there's an orangish orb and then there's white smaller ones that were circling around it and either getting hidden behind it or literally going within it and then circling around.
No way, dude. You saw that too in San Diego?
Yeah, I've seen several different things. Yeah.
Wow. But getting back to Ron's thing, you know, if you think about it, Stephen Greer did a movie called, you know, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, CE5. And I think in there, he posts a picture of a humanoid light being, you know, that he said that they did through their meditation. But like to see a face inside an orb, I've never heard of that before. And that's kind of freaky, you know? I mean,
we did get a high quality picture of the orb from this this person. And
yeah.
When I adjusted the level, so it just wasn't like
I know which one you're talking about. You're not talking about an orb. That was a woman out in Southern America that sent you some pictures, and there's a face in there. I don't think that was an orb. I think that was an actual person walking, but that was just a glow or something.
Oh, you mean like what in that movie, like what he was talking about the actual the being in the interdimensional beings coming to light, coming in and out.
Yes, maybe could in be and that out of
the dimension. Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
Did that woman, Ron, by the way, say that she saw them as glowing, or were they actual physical bodies? Or I'm just curious.
She said they were glowing, and it was like a huge glowing light. But when she took a picture of it, it only showed like the source of the light.
Right.
And then when I adjusted the contrast and levels, like to see what it was exactly. Like a face showed up inside the light.
I think I saw that, Ron. And that was freaky. That is an alien face for sure.
It definitely looks like it.
I saw it.
And I was like, Oh,
if that's the one you're talking about, that's a good picture. I mean, the problem though is, you know, like from what I know, and I don't want to talk too much about it in the show, this to protect the person's, I don't know who it is. You won't tell me who it is anyhow, but that's okay. But the problem, and if I really wanted, I'm sure you might tell me if this person was okay. But the point is though, like, you know, like it's one person, people are going to say it was doctor. We'd have to have somebody who could do like, who this really could do video analysis. And people have gotten so good at scamming shit. Maybe somebody gave an elderly person this picture to send to you, and people, that's what people are going to say. I don't believe that to be true. I saw that, and that was hard to find in the first place, that image. Maybe it was designed that way, but that looked real, dude. I mean, I'm not an expert. I mean, that was,
yeah, and
that looked real.
And that's why I want to hold off on publishing it, because as soon as that one's out, it would be easier to make a bunch of like copycats.
Right.
That kind of look like that. And I think it's better if we just hold on to that for a while and see if other people send in similar images with like similar alien beings inside them.
Right.
And once we have a set of like maybe half a dozen or so, then publish it all as a set. Mm-hmm. Saying, hey, look, this isn't just in one spot. This is occurring all over the world. And
the world, yeah.
It's a similar, you can see similar beings inside these orbs flying around in these weird places around the world.
But
like right now we just have one, but once we have a few of them, then I think it'll be more advantageous to publish then.
Yeah. I'd like to think of the science behind it. I would think that these people or these aliens or whatever, the aliens are like traversing through a dimension, or they're using some kind of, it's like a star. You know, if you watch Star Trek, the simple thing is, hey, beam me up, Scotty, right? So your body starts disintegrating into some kind of beam and you look like light. I mean, I think that actually makes sense. I mean, if you're doing interdimensional or kind of like transportation or something, or some kind of energy that's moving them, it changes the light around the area. So maybe they are actually completely physical. It's just that the light has been affected. There's a whole bunch of scientific, you know, I guess, you know, hypotheses you could create on that. But I guess if you don't have enough evidence, you don't have multiple cases, people are just going to try to discredit you and anything that you post. So that, I think that makes good sense. I want to get back to the documents and the telepathy and the remote viewing, because that document, I think you hit on something, Ron. I personally believe, and that's why I write this in my books, is that the only way you're going to be able to communicate with aliens, I think, is through telepathy. And the reason for that is, I think it's, you know, language is like a human construct. You know, you make sounds out of these things called vocal cords. You know, dolphins use sounds and sonar, and whales and birds use, you know, bats use like they have like radar and whatnot in their bodies. I mean, there's all kinds, just because, you know, we use, voice sounds, to me, it's not the most effective communication. I think telepathy, what we call telepathy, there's probably different levels of it, where you have some kind of electromagnetic or interdimensional communication where you can talk to a being. I think that's the only way that that aliens have probably spoken to. And I think the CIA and the government has probably realized that. So getting back to these docs, what's the ramifications to society if everybody could figure out how to do this? Is this a good thing for humanity or a bad thing? I'm just curious if people could use this. How would they use this ability? Because it sounds like the CIA studied it, and I would suspect that they're very good at it. Well, maybe not great at it, but maybe some people are good at it. What's the ramifications of this kind of technologies? I can't hear you, Ron. I lost you.
Hello?
You're kind of back now. Hold on. Go ahead, talk.
Yeah, it would certainly enable more people to communicate through other dimensions if they were capable of doing this to a high level. And there are CIA documents that talk about interdimensional beings and energy that show up while doing these techniques. So it is not unknown for there to be entities and stuff in those dimensions while you are practicing this technique that the CIA has published.
Well, wait a second here. Let's clarify here. So you're saying when you're doing this remote viewing or telepathy or astral projection or whatever it is in these documents, these quote entities can arrive. Now, what are you defining as an entity?
Well, the documents I read just call them interdimensional beings.
Okay. Aliens?
Well, I mean, it says interdimensional being. It doesn't say alien.
Well, but they don't. Yeah, they don't use the word UFO anymore either. And you know, that's what they.
You're talking about the declassified FBI document.
Yeah, yeah.
No, the CIA documents.
Yeah. CIA Gateway.
I found something said FBI had some interdimensional beings visiting Earth regularly. Interdimensional hypothesis.
Right.
That's a different one, actually.
Well, so if people could, I personally, if everybody could actually figure out how to do this, right? It says that there's cosmic consciousness. Did you remember? I think that, is that, am I not correct, Ron, that there's a cosmic consciousness that was discussed?
Yeah, they did talk about the cosmic consciousness and being able to access it, and there's ways to level up in there. So the second time you access it, you can access it from a level that is more advanced than the last time you accessed it, and then on and on. So it's something you can train to get better at over time.
Weird. Well, you know,
and the better you get, the more access you get to that that other dimensions.
Well, I know it's going to sound crazy, and I'm not just trying to plug my book, although I'm trying to plug my book a little bit here, but I wrote a story a long time ago called Cosmic Dreams, and it's in a new book that I have out called The Worlds of Wonder. It's one of five short stories, and in that story, I talk about, you know, this galactic library that comes through interdimensional, comes to Earth, you know, it's trying to warn Earth of a major destruction event. And these people can connect into this, galactic, this interdimensional library and ask any question and get any answer. And I called it Cosmic Dreams because I was thinking more of cosmic consciousness. And, you know, I'd read about this and it fascinated me. Probably in the 90s, somebody turned me on to the concept of cosmic consciousness, even though I think I kind of knew about it from as a kid, I'd always been meditating when I'm going to sleep and stuff like that. And, you know, I didn't know what it was. But I tend to believe, you know, if you think about it, these guys are saying that your brain is beyond your physical body, that you can get into this interdimensional, multidimensional connection. It's beyond space and time, almost something what's that movie, the Twilight Zone or whatever. But, you know, you could get access to this galactic library. Man, if that is true, right, Ron? I mean, you've got the Wikipedia. I don't really like Wikipedia these days, but you know, the Wikipedia of the world, in a sense, a true Wikipedia that's going to give you the brutal truth, not that what some government hacks supposed designed to write about you or anybody else, you know, because as we all know, people who are into know, Wikipedia is now really controlled by corporations and the government. But a true Wikipedia, that would be actually very enlightening to the world if they could access this, this cosmic consciousness. Is that what they're saying is there?
I don't think they said that, but they did say that the human consciousness comes from that dimension and not the other way around. So wow. It's not us manifesting that dimension, it's that dimension manifesting us.
We're in some really trippy shit, man. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to understand this. The way to understand it, though, what is this? I think they said that you can study the books. There's a bibliography with a couple of books. Hey, does anybody, you guys have that document online now? Do they talk about that Monroe Institute or whatever? Are you looking at that by any chance, Hayes, that document?
The Monroe Institute? I did pull up something about the Monroe Institute. Actually, their site.
Right.
Out of here somewhere.
Okay. Well, so
I'm comparing the CIA and the FBI documents right now.
All right. So Ron, I don't know if you want to get into this, but we talked a little bit offline about this. I personally think, you know, that document is very important. That's one of the first documents you got. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't send it to you, but of course, since you say you can't tell, you won't know if that's true or not. But I have written about this stuff, you know, over the years, cause you know, I really believe in it. How hard is it for somebody did it say, like, and another thing is, I don't know if I can mention this and we can cut it out of the show if you don't feel comfortable about it, but what do you think of like monasteries and the relationship to, this kind of access to this kind of technology? Do you think that like monks and monasteries understand this kind of stuff already?
Yeah, they definitely understand it. I'm not sure if all monks understand it, but the higher level monks that meditate a lot, and I'm talking Buddhist and like Taoist monks here, maybe Zen also.
Right.
So like the higher level ones would understand this, and they would be privy to what is in the cosmic consciousness and how to access it and how to navigate through there. But those aren't exactly the most conversational type of people. So even if they could explain it to you, they probably wouldn't.
Right. You can't that's interesting. I read something online because I started like Googling and looking at, actually I don't use Google, but that much. I mean, but other like search engines and ways to look around for information. And I find it interesting, like, you know, you don't know about this, but a lot of these leaders, like I'm going to give an example, even writers, for example, you know, Philip K. Dick, who is, you know, who's done like a lot of like the Minority Report movie, you know, he's done, you know, Blade Runner, which is the big one. You know, his stuff that was out is just like really mind-boggling for science fiction. And he's probably one of the greatest science fiction writers of all time. But when you read about his history, you know, people don't know this. He swears that he met aliens. I mean, absolutely swears about that he did. They don't talk too much about it. They just say, oh, this is crazy. Philip K. Dick, the science fiction writer. I hope he's not crazy, because they were saying as he got older, the more he wrote about, the crazier it got. You know, and I write science fiction, and I hope it's not like a disease that all sci-fi people get. You know, you just lose it. But, you know, he swore that there was like a cosmic consciousness, galactic forces out there. And, you know, it just all sounds so goddamn crazy, you know, to the average person. So people who are really into meditation or who are really into this, like, to give an example, let's give you some scientific examples of some evidence of some cases. Ingo Swann, who worked on the Stargate project, right? And some of the other guys. The videos are like memory hold now. And I think I'd like to find a few of these and put them on the Alien Agenda site, or maybe if somebody could send Alien Leaks some of the videos. I mean, like, you don't even need to get stuff that's like secret. You need to get stuff that's been memory hold. I mean, shit, Google and these guys keep deleting shit, you know, I mean, that's another podcast I'd like to talk about. Maybe we'll talk later on the show about, you know, how crappy, you know, Google and Facebook and all these guys are and Twitter are these days. But there was stuff from Ingo Swann where he talked about at public events. He admitted he worked for the CIA, and the CIA admitted that he worked for them, and it was through some research project, I think at Stanford or something. And when they were doing remote viewing, he said it got to be really sticky because they'd say, hey, go find us a Russian sub, right? And Ingo Swann would say, yeah, it's over here in this location on the map, you know, in the Atlantic Ocean. And they'd be like, we got a sub, and we also got this really big round object above it. And they're like, oh, is it an airplane? He's like, no. Looks like, I don't know, a flying saucer. And they're like, what? So yeah, that's what I got. So next thing you know, they put the satellites out there to look. And of course, the satellite finds, you know, some stupid flying saucer, and the submarine like is already sunk in the water, you know, so it went under, you know. And they're like, well, that we found the UFO, but we didn't find the sub. We're like, oh, yeah, well, because the sub goes back down under the water, right? But they found the UFO. And this went on for a while. So a lot of these people who are able to use telepathy, remote viewing and stuff like that are actually they're picking up UFOs. Did you know that, Ron? Did you know that, Hayes?
Yeah, I knew that, and they're also able to like communicate with the UFOs and stuff.
Yeah,
possibly. I mean, we don't know that for a fact, but that's a plausible use of that technique.
Well, you know what? I tell you, like, even doing this stuff for Alien Agenda, and I know working with you at Alien Leaks, and you know, trying to even get regular news these days, it's turned into such a clusterfuck, you know? I mean, and people are going to say, well, they're going to blame people like influencers like you or other people and say, you know, it's their fault. They're putting all kinds of bullshit out. We're not supposed to post it. But, you know, I'm so sick of this mess, to be honest. I don't even know. I mean, I have to live with it. You know, when I search for information, it takes me now like 10 times what it used to take me to find anything. And like this, like to give an example, and I know this is supposed to be, this is a podcast about aliens, but I want to bring up one little pet peeve and hear what you have to say, since I'm sure you've read about this stuff too, and Hayes has. But you know, like a year ago or 2 years ago, whatever, when this virus first came out, you know, I was like, man, it came out of Wuhan. There's a laboratory there. You know, I was like, probably high chance it came from laboratory because what makes sense? It's in China. You know, they do bat studies at that laboratory. It's like less than 15 kilometers where the major outbreak came out. But, you know, you don't know what to believe. Maybe the United States is putting propaganda. Maybe it actually came out of New York City, you know, but, you know, the news mostly the Chinese, I think, were saying it first came out of China, for Christ's sake. And they locked down like half their goddamn country, which is a pretty big country when you're locking down half your country. And I was like, you know, it's got to be like, makes pretty good chance they should look at the Wuhan lab or whatever. And they started shutting people down. Zero Hedge got shut off. You couldn't put it on Facebook. You're a conspiracy theory. All this shit. And then some report comes out like a week later with this guy Dasnik or whatever, 18 brilliant scientists said, oh, there's no laboratory. I'm like, how could they fucking figure out in like 2 or 3 weeks or a month that there's no laboratory breakout? Was there like something in that thing that they found, like the animals, and they found who got sick first? But no, that wasn't at all. You know what it ended up being, Ron? And I'm going to sound like the conspiracy, you know, nut job on this show, right? It was the fucking Fauci and all them, and a lot of, and I'm going to lose like half the viewers or listeners of this show, but I don't really care. The truth is the truth. These guys were all in bed with each other, you know, funding gain of function research, and they covered it up. And that's the God's honest truth. And if people don't like it, well, I probably shouldn't say the truth on the show. But, you know, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, guys. This is something, I know it's not related to Alien Agenda, but
he lied about it under oath while being grilled about it, and tried to play what modern day fact checkers do, is they pick through your statement and say, you know, you're off by three numbers or some crap. And you're trying to say, was it a gain of function one? That's absolutely what it was. Now that all these emails are coming out where he himself admitted that it was gain of function research. And then, if, I don't know if you guys know, but the scientist they dubbed the Bat Lady, I went and watched a bunch of her videos of conferences and stuff, and then they removed all that stuff to just bury the fact that, you know, there's thousands of coronaviruses in bats, and they mess with them all the time.
Well, you know, I speak and read Chinese. I majored in Chinese in college, and right when this COVID start was stuff was like getting mainstream back in January 2020.
Yep.
And even December 2019, I was already researching all this with source documents from China in Chinese before they memory hold anything.
Uh-huh.
And I came to the conclusion in early January that it was a bioweapon being funded, a joint venture between the US and China through their through like their joint thing in Wuhan.
But when you say bioweapon, Ron, look, I don't read Chinese. I'm not going to pretend that I do, but I try to use logic, and I read a lot of the documentation that was out there, and who the hell knows what's true. I came to the conclusion that it was a dual-purpose program, that the United States would not willingly help the Chinese create a bioweapon unless they were building it together, okay? And I don't think that they're that close to be able to build a bioweapon together, last that I looked at the Chinese, you know, American relationship. But I believe that the Chinese basically put the wool over the American eyes and said, yo, we can do the gain-of-function research because Fauci and all them want to look for viruses that are potential. But if we learn about it and we create a vaccine for it before anybody else, then they created a bioweapon. So it's kind of like a dual-purpose program. I don't think the United States, I just want to put this on record. I mean, maybe you do. You have more information. I don't think the United States tried to create a bioweapon with China. I think that was the Chinese.
It's been memory holds now, but in early 2020, like January, February, the Chinese were already testing their vaccine for COVID.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that and, doesn't. I saw the first person who got vaccinated in China. It was a girl from the People's Liberation Army.
Yeah, but that doesn't refute what I'm saying. I'm saying that the Chinese probably were working on a bioweapon. I just don't think the United States, I agree that the United States put money in. I think it was really stupid, and they got themselves into a mess that they should have never got into, because I think Obama and all of them banned all this kind of gain-of-function research, but they were able to sneak it offshore. And by sneaking it offshore, they started working with some really unscrupulous partners who said, oh, we'll take the American money, and we'll take the knowledge that they got, and yeah, we'll do research into bat viruses, and we won't tell them as we'll work on a bioweapon and a vaccine in the background. That's what I think happened. I just don't think the United States was willingly involved in creating a bioweapon. They were just really stupid, and they did things that they shouldn't have been doing, and they should take partial credit for fucking up the planet. That's just my opinion. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. So you think the United States was actually involved knowingly to create a bioweapon? You think that's the case?
I do. Well,
you do?
All major countries are involved in creating bioweapons and other ways of destroying each other.
I don't necessarily think it was created with the purpose of being a bioweapon, but once it was out, like whether or not it was leaked from the lab or if they purposely put it out, regardless of like what their intention was, they used it as a bioweapon by banning all domestic travel within China, but encouraging all international travel from Wuhan. So the countries that said, no, we're not going to take a plane from Wuhan, like into our country's capital, well, there were big propaganda pushes to label those countries racist and xenophobes, and oh, you better take this plane of Chinese from Wuhan, or you're racist.
Yeah, it's all stupid and horrible. But you know what I don't get, Ron, and Hayes, is like, you know, so the United States bans the Chinese, but then the Chinese go to Italy or whatever, or some other dumb country that accepts them, you know, and they're hugging the Chinese and they're catching the virus because they want to play this woke political game that, you know, they're not racist, but they're just plain stupid. And then we're plain stupid because we're not banning the countries that they went to. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can ban the Chinese, but if the Chinese went to like an intermediate country and then it came to the United States, you know, I don't think Trump was able to stop all that. You know, well, obviously he wasn't. I mean, the United States just blew up with the coronavirus, as the whole world had. I mean, I don't think you could stop it. The Chinese, I think we're assholes, to be honest. They had to have fucking known it was a bioweapon, or they had to have known it was coronavirus bat research that went really bad. The government had to have fucking known. And then to block domestic travel and allow international travel is criminal. Absolutely criminal. Criminal. I don't know where this is going to go.
You know, in the months before the outbreak, I'm going to say October 2019.
Yeah.
Around. It's either August or October. Anyways, like late summer, early autumn in, no, summer to autumn 2019, there was some kind of a joint military thing between the US and China in Wuhan.
Right. Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, I know about
where,
that.
Where like the US soldiers went to Wuhan to do some kind of training or celebration.
Yeah, I remember. All a bunch of, they were doing joint military operations, for Christ's sake, is what I thought I read, but go ahead.
I don't know exactly what they're doing, but for some reason there were US military in Wuhan in mid to late 2019. And the Chinese government says that is the source of the COVID outbreak.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, you got to put yourself in the other person's shoes, right? Like, at the end of the day, the hard fact is that, I mean, you know, if the United States wanted to, like, frame China for this thing, right? If you, you know, usually the thing is the Occam's razor or whatever. Usually the simplest explanation is usually the truth, right? But if the United States was trying to frame China for a bat virus, they say, okay, well, we'll wait till we get near, you know, their bat virus facility and we'll let it loose and it will look like it's from the facility. You know what I mean? But if you're going to let it loose and you want it to look like the facility and that's your plan, then the United States government should have been putting out propaganda the whole time to say it's from the Wuhan facility, but that's not what they did. And they should be able to control Fauci and all the other people that work for them very easily and say, listen, you know, we want you guys to stick up with us and say it came from the lab. Nobody did that. As a matter of fact, au contraire, they did the opposite and said that it didn't come from the lab and everybody stuck together. The United States government all stuck together. So I don't think, like, you know, the Chinese argument that Americans planned it, you know, by doing that. Now, or they could say maybe it wasn't a plan, but they could say maybe it just, you know, so the thinking about it, using logic, they're just trying to, if the Chinese is trying to blame somebody else, like the United States, that's a good way to try to blame. But I don't think it holds a lot of, you know, credence. Do you know what I'm saying? A lot more credible.
I pulled up something about that, and they're saying that they were supposed to be doing drills, but the Americans were, they did so poorly that the Chinese called them soy sauce soldiers because they basically didn't do shit. And now they're saying, the Chinese are saying that they know why those people were acting so bad. They weren't real soldiers. They actually were scientists that brought the virus. And they say that's why they can't find patient zero in China, because they believe he was a member of the U.S. team from that.
But here's the other problem with that, right? If you're going to create like a bioweapon, before you let it loose, usually you have like a vaccine ready. You know what I'm saying? And guess who had the quickest vaccine? It wasn't the United States.
And guess whose economy came back booming?
It was China and Russia that had the vaccine the quickest. Now, Russia, I think, was just lucky. Maybe they're friends with China and had some information that the Americans didn't have. But China had the vaccine first. So using an Occam's razor theory, if it's the Americans, just because I'm American doesn't mean I won't blame. I believe in blaming on what the truth is. And I think the Chinese did it. But, you know, if they prove me wrong, you know, I'll change my opinion. What do you think, Ron? What's your actual opinion? You know, I mean, if you don't want to say, you don't have to say it, but what is your opinion on this? What do you think actually happened?
Joint venture.
Yep, I agree with that. But for the whole thing, for the joint venture in creating this, we call it a bioweapon, but like research that could be like dual purpose. But do you think it was a joint venture and screwing up the plant, that they worked together as a team to go fuck up the whole plant? You think that was coordinated?
Don't forget that in 2018, 2019, Trump was squeezing China hard.
Yeah.
China was really hurting from Trump's, he was taxing their imports to America, and he was really hurting them with the tariffs, and they were due to sign some kind of agreement with Trump in early January. I think they did sign it, but then a week or two later is when all this stuff exploded. So the timing is really, it really matches with like a controlled release, but we'll never know for sure.
Yeah. I'm of the theory that it's just two morons, you know, Fauci's department and the people in Wuhan thought it was a good idea, you know, to do bat research because, you know, there was a SARS virus and they were trying to find things that in theory could cause a problem before it happened. So they said, hey, let's go create the virus before it happens naturally. And you know, everybody got all this money and they're having fun. And then some of the Chinese behind the scenes, and maybe even the Americans behind the scenes, say, hey, we can also take this technology and maybe make an antidote, you know. And the problem was, I think it slipped out of the lab before anybody completely made an antidote. But I think that the antidote was closer by the Chinese, because they were already thinking about making a bioweapon, is my guess. And then when it got out, then nobody lets lets the tragedy go to waste. So the Chinese probably said, okay, so this shit's happened. We had plans to do this, but it happened earlier. So why not just execute our plans of screwing up America and the rest of the world and start flying people all over the place, since Trump's screwing us up? We got a vaccine that's going to work, and we'll lock down our country. So maybe there's some nefarious people that did that. Even if it wasn't nefarious, that's actually what happened anyhow. They sent people all over the world and infected.
And they very well could have been working with the American government, because the majority of them wanted Trump out because he didn't play ball with the rest of the kid.
Well, I don't know if they directly played ball, but I suspect, like, once again, don't let a tragedy go to waste. So the Democrats in the United States, or whoever hated Trump, with the military, industrial, political, security complex that hated him, said, hey, you know, they don't have to work with China. They can just passively work. They can just, you know, boost up, you know, let things. I'm not saying that they did. If they did, you know, that's a criminal offense. I don't know for sure. But I bet you there's some people who use this for political benefit, because guess what? Everything in the United States, whether it's Republicans or Democrat, equally, both parties are equally, you know, divisive, in my opinion, and will both do evil things if necessary. And they use it to help get rid of Trump. But,
well, you know, I don't think it was either the Democrats or the Republicans. It was more likely to have been the CIA working with China to do it.
The oligarchs.
So, well, like, the CIA would try to control any presidency by making the president as weak as they can, so that they can continue to do whatever they're going to be doing clandestinely.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's right. I mean, and then you go and get Biden. I mean,
and then you can see them fucking up Biden right now too, with all hacks and ransomware and all that shit going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, he's screwed now, Biden, I think. I mean, he doesn't look strong at all. None of this looks good. I feel bad for America. I really do. I don't like this. And this, you know, this, I know we got off track of the alien agenda topic, but I wanted to talk about this because, like, how the hell, if we can't even get truth in politics, now that people are going to laugh, right? We probably lost half the people listening already, because we're talking about, you know, viruses and Wuhan and stuff. But if you can't get any truth in the news, because you can't trust these guys, like Twitter and all them, now they're like, oh, well, it's no longer a conspiracy. They're new fact check. That means their fact checking is all fucking bullshit. You're right. You know, the whole point was they should have just let people speak their mind. Some people are going to say bullshit. Some people are going to say the truth, and let the people figure it out. We don't need, like, some big brother, like, you know, scouring through the internet to say you should read this and not read this. Once they do that, you got a whole bunch of morons, you know, living in the United States that won't even know who to vote for. So the thing is, if we can't even do that for politics, how are we ever going to find, you know, like, alien documents that they're not going to memory hole? You know, so that's why I was thinking that, like the Ingo Swan documents and other stuff, people probably don't even know who he is. Maybe very few people do. But it's like, I find it amazing. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone or in some kind of like 1984 book. Things that I used to be able to find on YouTube. It's like, you click on, it's got this little picture, no longer available, doesn't work, you know? And I'm like,
there's thousands of things.
I mean, like, you know, I think Facebook, Google, Twitter, Apple, all of them, Amazon, holy shit, be careful. Be careful of what you do, you know, to the world. It's all going to come back. It's kind of like what we did with blowback. You know, Ron Paul used to talk about this. We go to these other countries, we use the CIA and all these countries to, you know, to corrupt and kill and maim and lie and cheat and create false news narratives that one CIA agent says one thing and another guy says another. And everybody says, oh, we have confirmation. Two newspaper reporters confirmed some bullshit, but really behind the scenes, they were like government workers creating some kind of story to get rid of a president. Well, they do it in foreign countries. And, you know, they do it in the U.S. now. So it could be Trump one day. It could be Biden the next day. It could be Kamala Harris the next. It could be, who knows, Ted Cruz the next. I mean, it's going to be Tweedledee, Tweedledum. They're just going to go after each one of these guys. I think we've lost it. And I don't know where, and maybe I've gotten hitting a nerve on this show. I don't know where we go in the United States. I don't know where this ends up. I don't know how we get any data anymore that we can trust. I don't know. Hayes, what do you think?
Well, I think the world's in a place where we need people like Ron, you know, to have places where we can get information that's may still be obtained by people that are, you know, on the side of, you know, truth. Yeah, but, and
But Hayes, half the people are going to say Ron's full of shit. They're already saying that they're saying he's a conspiracy theorist, you know, this and that, and that, you know.
It makes it seem like it's half or more, but the reality is the amount of people, so-called conspiracy theorists, are growing, you know, every day. It's more and more and more.
But what is a conspiracy theorist anyhow? What is that
exactly? It's not, most people don't understand what the hell the word conspiracy means, because they automatically think that any type of a conspiracy is a whack job thing. But people conspire to do things, whether they're good or they're nefarious, all the time.
Well, I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, that the
CIA conspiracy theorist is just it's doublethink for the word truth speaker.
Yeah, I would be surprised. I mean, for me, when I hear the word conspiracy, I mean, you know, people, like, let's get back to this whole thing of Wuhan. Facebook and Twitter and all that would ban you if you talked about Wuhan lab being the place where the virus originated. And looks like that's the fucking truth. So who the fuck now, with any in their right minds, ever going to trust Twitter or Facebook again? They should stop all this. You know what it is? They become basically arms. I think Greenwald, like I told you, is like the only real journalist out there, and they keep trying to discredit him. He's really the only journalist left. I don't know how long he's going to last. I mean, like, I feel sorry for the guy. I hope he like doesn't drive like a car that's controlled by a computer, or he's not like a place where like drones are allowed or whatever. I mean, I really feel sorry for Glenn, you know, Greenwald. And I, you know, I hope he continues and I hope he stays safe. But, you know, like, there's almost no truth out there. So what do we do?
Well, in this day and age, you got a lot of people that still rely on Snopes. They think that it's a legit site, and along with a lot of these other fact checkers, but nobody does the due diligence of digging to see who funds these nonprofit, supposedly, places and who backs them and is running the show. And
well, as soon as you start digging on that, they label you a conspiracy theorist racist.
Absolutely, yeah. So it, well, that's a way to end dialect and, you know, conversation and any logical thinking and independent, you know, research is just to be labeled nowadays. Everybody uses it. I mean, they use racist, they use conspiracy theorist, I mean, you name it. It's a word to end the conversation, to make somebody feel like they won and you're just a whack job. And, you know,
yeah,
I think there's more people nowadays that are actually opening their mind a little bit more. And of course you're going to hear that more people are calling people conspiracy theorists, because anybody that's you know, revealing things that have been conspired, your voice is rarely heard, you know. Which is why I think hopefully we're going to get some more people that are like-minded, that have the funds to be able to start creating more networks and sites for people to speak freely and bring things out that are being snubbed right now, you know, left and right by the powers that be, because they're so powerful and they own everything. How do you really get the message out there without it being, you know, mocked if it ever makes it out?
Yeah. What's your thoughts on that, Ron?
Well, there are plenty of places to get your information out, like including Alien Leaks and WikiLeaks, and you could even use some of the anonymous image boards. And people do use those methods to get the word out, but it's often lost in the noise. Yeah. Because there's not exactly much curation going on. Especially on the anonymous websites where you can post information and stuff.
Yeah.
So we have to be very careful, because eventually these fact checkers are going to be like, they're going to be probably end up government sponsored. Like, this is the official Ministry of Truth.
They are already.
Officially, like, can be made like a cabinet member, like, this is the leader of the Department of Truth or whatever. And I see that coming sooner than later.
Well, they're using, and
if Biden's team is listening to this podcast, I mean, probably give them the idea to expedite even sooner than I imagine it could happen. And
yeah,
I think there would be huge blowback from it too. So it could be a double-edged sword for them.
Which is why they're utilizing current social media I mean, and just think about the big changes on Facebook alone after they gave him a booster seat and grilled him, you know, about his practices and everything. He's playing ball with the government now. I mean, I think they threatened and scared him with a lot of things early on. And same thing with Bill Gates. And they're both working with the government as factions of the government, yet not officially the government. Kind of like, in essence, where they say we're not going to mandate vaccine passports, but we're going to work with corporations to make it almost impossible for people to live their lives and go get a job and go shopping and be able to go see a movie or anything. But they're doing this all in the background by working with these corporations, the owners of these corporations, and making it look like they're the ones that are doing it. You know, it's all a ball game behind the scenes.
So Ron, I'm just curious, that's a really good point, Hayes. I'm in agreement with you. But Ron, you were saying something about the Biden administration. Could you continue on what you're saying about that?
Yeah, they might listen to this podcast and consider making an actual Ministry of Truth of sorts, which would be a double-edged sword for them because there'd be a lot of blowback, and a lot of people would see through it and just listen to the opposite of what they're saying is the truth.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, people they just won't trust it. But I mean, it's sad. There's very low trust in politicians today. There's very, you know, people will blame it on Trump, but there's very low trust in mainstream media. If you look at the amount of people who actually trust mainstream media. But, you know, I think it's a sad state of affairs. I think the people that run this planet, the people who have the majority of the wealth, the majority of the power, the control of the politicians, the control of these governments that are, or high-level executives in the CIA or the NSA and all them, you know, I'm not even going to plead, but I would just say that they should, think about their actions. I've kind of given up. I just don't, I don't think that you or I or other people are going to open up the ears. People might listen to this show and they might get pissed off. You have one topic that triggers somebody. You know, I try to even if I don't agree with something, if something's interesting, you know, I'll listen to it because you want to weigh your options here. You say, look, well, am I being bullshit? Because most people just don't know that the CIA runs the news in the United States. Most people, now maybe they should know, but these fact checkers are bullshit artists. I mean, what the fuck? How can you say that Twitter, Facebook, or anybody, you know, knows anything about fact checking? Basically, they're like that. They're going to tell you what the truth is. The government is now going to inform the people what the truth is. I mean, people have lost it. They don't have no idea of history, no idea of the struggle for freedom, no idea, you know, what communism repression is really like, and no idea even what science is or what scientific method is or who knows any goddamn science. I mean, you got Fauci and everybody, people are going to say, oh, he's talking bad about Fauci, about Bill Gates. People are just going to shut the show off. You know, somebody who's
Speaking bad about Fauci is speaking bad about science.
Well, yeah, Fauci's science. He's the king. He's the emperor of science, you know. He's
king science.
Yes, king science. You know, look, I thought the guy was a nice guy. I'm an Italian-American. I don't like him just because he's an Italian-American. He's got the same name, front name. But, you know, I listen to the guy, and I'm like, oh, East Coast guy, you know, listen to him, scientist. But then you look at the money. Follow the money for all these folks, right? And even the politicians, right? It's not like Trump and Biden don't have financial interests in becoming president, okay? They can talk all about how nice it is to help the world, Hillary Clinton, all these people. But at the end of the day, it'd be nice to get a politician who says, you know, who's honest, yeah, we want to help the world, but if I can get a few bucks in the process, big deal. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. As long as the guy does something decent. I just don't want somebody who's lying to me, you know, all day long, who's just a well-spoken puppet. So I think the world's gone, and I don't think we're going to wake up a lot of people. I really don't. I think this show is only going to be for a few people who have open minds. You know, if you end up what's his name, who got bought off by Spotify, who is the big podcast guy on Spotify now?
Joe Rogan.
Mike Rogan.
Yeah, yeah, Rogan, or Joe Rogan, or is it Mike Rogan, whatever, one at Rogan, right? So, you know,
Joe Rogan.
So he gets on the show, right? And then now he has to apologize for saying stuff that, like, he said something about vaccinations. He wouldn't give it to kids. You know what? He's fucking right. You know, I won't give it to my kid. There's no way in hell I'm giving the vaccine to my kid.
Pfizer and Moderna are having a huge meeting tomorrow that lasts like 7 or 8 hours about pushing it now for emergency use for 5 to 11 year olds. Unfucking believable. And there's people that are willingly letting their 6-month-old newborns being injected with that shit on trials.
Well, you know, maybe
unbelievable.
You know what? You're not going to fix stupidity, Hayes. You're not going to fix it. And, you know, there's too many people on the planet, you know, so maybe this is some nefarious plan to, you know, I don't know. I mean, who knows what's in this thing? You know, we're supposed to trust the doctors and the virus. You can't trust Fauci. You can't. I mean, like, and they don't want to hear this. This is probably the show that gets us shut off. I knew this was going to happen.
You want to hear a conspiracy theorist?
What?
So Carrie Mullis, inventor of the PCR test, called out Fauci numerous times about the whole HIV doesn't cause AIDS bullshit. Long story, a different show. But he mysteriously died of a respiratory disease right before this shit blew up. And he was Fauci's number one anti-Fauci guy. He said he's a piece of shit. He doesn't know shit about science. He goes, I'll debate him any day, and he refuses to debate me. He would not have gone on with this and this whole pandemic and the manipulation of the PCR, the cycles, the thresholds that they do. They manipulate the hell out of that. And then they push the whole bullshit about asymptomatic, you know, exposure and all this other bullshit and ran with that shit. Harry Mullis would not. I tell you what, these emails and shit would have came out a lot sooner.
Well, I'm going to change this podcast, but it was going to be like on the CIA Gateway Docs. I think I'm going to say CIA Gateway Docs and then, you know, COVID-19. This will be two topics so people can like, so they can tune out if they want to on this. We're getting close to near the end. I think that the point I was trying to make, though, is that it's going to be hard to get the truth. And I don't expect everybody to believe the truth. I think people should use their own brains, try to do the analysis, but it's almost impossible when the media is completely controlled and they're just spoon fed bullshit. But I think people running the world should think about this, because what kind of planet is going to be created if you have nothing but a bunch of morons voting for another bunch of morons and the world's falling apart, you know, because you can't think anymore. And that's what's going to happen. You lose freedom of speech, you lose freedom of thought. And the thought's lost in the United States. I think the United States is going to become the world in general is becoming a very dangerous place, because the lack of logical, you know, thought, the lack of honesty, the lack of decency, the lack of spirituality. We're going down the poop chute, but hopefully maybe if we just get one or two people, you know, who listen to the show, who say, you know what, we're going to make a stand and make the world a better place. That's, I think, what we should do. The next episode, Ron's got some, I can't talk about it. He won't let me talk about it, but he's got some really cool stuff he's going to talk about on the next episode. But on this episode, I think we've talked about what we wanted to talk about, unless we want to talk more about.
We never touched base on any meditation methods that you guys possibly use, any telepathy.
We could talk about that. I was just going to say, if there's anything that people want to continue on before we end the show, like one last topic, you know, that's related to the
air. I'm just curious, you know, tied to the Gateway Docs, if you guys have ever done any remote viewing of any type or sense or any special type of meditation that would get you to the state to where you would attempt something like that.
I don't know if we want to give away our secrets, Hayes. So I don't know. How about you go first? Why don't you tell us what you do?
Well, I really never, I guess I've been doing this stuff ever since I can remember, but never had word for it. I usually meditate in the garden. You know how people say they talk to their plants? Well, my plants talk to me. I truly believe I have telepathy with plants. I can hear them screaming at times when they're dying of thirst, because I have a connection with them. and with the earth in general. I'm also a weirdo when I'm sleeping.
I don't want to know about this, Hayes. I found this out
because my wife tells me. I'm surprised she hasn't recorded anything, but I sleep with my eyes open all the time. even during REM at times, in the REM sleep state. But the craziest thing is my wife loves talking because I'll start talking because I have dreams at times where I've had them ever since I was a child, and I'll have the same dream and it starts at the same spot where I'm trying to resolve something, which I think has something to do with possibly past life experiences or other tapping into other lives and other realms, possibly.
You think you were ever abducted as a kid or anything like that?
Yeah, nothing stands out that I can think of.
But
I've always stared, and I've always known and felt the presence of other beings.
I don't know about you, Hayes, but if my wife, or like when I was single, my girlfriend or whatever, you know, is laying in bed and she had her eyes open and she was talking, I think I might run out of the room, to be honest.
Dude, yes, I freak people out. Okay, over the years, I freak people out. People will start talking to me and they think I'm being rude to them. And my wife would tell him, he's passed out. No, he's not. His eyes are wide open. He's staring at me. But not only that, but I will only come out of full sleep, stare my wife in the face, answer questions. But there's other times where I speak in accents. I speak in gibberish. And I also, in combination of gibberish and normal words. And then I also speak in completely different languages.
So now I know, Hayes, why
unknown languages.
Now I know why, Hayes, why you're able to I know why you're able to work in a rock and roll band, because I could just see you like on a road trip, right? You know, in like some like hotel lounge, and you're the lead singer and you're like 6'5" or whatever, with your long hair, with your like rings and gold chains and shit, and you're just laying back. And your eyes are open and you're fucking talking in your sleep. Holy shit, dude. You scared the hell out of me, man.
Probably. It's happened before.
But you're able, look, you told me one story that I don't know if I'm allowed to say on the show. I can always delete it later. Ha ha. But you said you'd met somebody like at Home Depot or something when you were a kid, and they were teaching you like some really interesting meditation techniques. Can you talk about that, or you feel uncomfortable?
Well, transcendental meditation. And this lady had been to India and actually met, let's see, what was the name of transcendental meditation guy, Yogi, Maharishi Yogi, I believe, was the founder of transcendental meditation. And she really took a liking to me, and I did some work for her and her husband, and that he didn't think that I was ready yet, probably because I was just a long-haired 19-year-old kid at the time. But in reading some of the stuff of the book that she loaned me, I realized that, wow, you know, I've been doing some of these techniques ever since I can remember, but never knew how to, you know, put a word or a name to it of what I was doing. So it was pretty interesting. But then I kind of got away from it. You know, I've dove into it, you know, periodically throughout the years since then, but never full fledged as I should.
Okay. Interesting.
There's some great stuff in there that makes a lot of sense.
I recommend, and I don't want to cut you off on that, Hayes, but I recommend that people study when Ron puts them out. I mean, they could probably look on the internet and probably find them somehow, the gateway documents and that missing page. I think it's page number 25. I think the Monroe Institute and all those things and all that study is a solid scientific background to learn, whether it be telepathy, astral projection, meditation, and any of this other stuff. I'm not going to talk too much about my experience, but I've been involved in this since maybe 12 years old. I've been studying this, and I've been able to use a lot of the techniques I think that were found in that gateway document. And I, like I said, I really didn't send it. I was surprised to see that it had a lot of stuff that I kind of knew already. So if you look at some of those techniques, you can build that over time. I think I've been able to successfully remote view things when necessary. And I think that there was one experience, I think I mentioned to you on that CE5 time where, you know, the plane, I thought the plane was going to crash and, you know, we were over like Nevada, probably over an alien base, who knows. And I could have sworn I saw something in my mind and my wife saw it out at the airplane. And that was like, you know, a telepathic experience. So I think it actually is possible, but who the hell knows? I've had multiple, like I said, remote viewings and telepathic experiences. I don't want to get into all of them because I don't know what's true and what's not. I think it's possible. I think each person has to learn on their own. You know, I think this, people should not take this as crazy science. They should just learn. And I think people could be surprised what you might be able to get out of all this. And I don't want to take too much longer until we spent a long time on this podcast. We can always continue, but I want to see if Ron has anything related to remote viewing or telepathy that he'd like to leave with the audience listening before we end this podcast.
Well, I don't know too much about remote viewing, but I did spend a bit of time studying meditation, and a lot of the stuff in the Gateway documents is very, very similar to what I was taught about meditation. So it was an interesting read for me anyways.
I think it's a good start. Wouldn't you agree? I think that document is the way to go, Ron. I mean, I don't think there's anything crazy in there. Maybe the CIA's got some secret tapes or something that's going to brainwash everybody, but I didn't see that in there. I mean, it looked pretty safe. Speaking of remote viewing, how did I do on that trip out to Hokkaido looking for that one building? I got the color right, but I didn't do too bad, right? On my remote.
Yeah. You made some nice predictions or with your remote viewing and, they essentially were right. So that was interesting.
Or I could have looked on a map before we got there and saw that stuff. It's either I predicted it or I cheated. So I let the listeners see which one is true.
Okay.
But no, I actually didn't look at any maps that I actually recall. I mean, I don't know why we were driving. I actually thought I saw a green building and there was a green building there, which was kind of weird. But then again, it's the country. There's probably a million green buildings. So in any case, look, I think this is a fun show. We're going to probably call this the CIA Gateway Docs. And also we seem to talk a lot about the COVID-19, we'll include that there. Does anybody have anything else for this podcast that they want to continue before we stop for today?
Oh, it's pretty good for me.
Well, thanks for joining, Ron. I always really appreciate having you on.
Thanks for having me on.
And then, Hayes, anything from you?
No, we're all good. There's some wildly interesting things and some bouncing around throughout the subjects as we tend to do. But you know how fast our minds race.
Well, I want to thank you too, gentlemen. The next episode is going to be really cool. There's some really cool stuff that we weren't allowed to talk about on this show. So the next show, I think, is going to be an even bigger blast. But this was a lot of fun, gentlemen. Thanks for joining Alien and Jenna. Look forward to talking to you again. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right, bye.
Goodbye.
as I travel through the madness, I stumble upon my way. Down the road that's been less traveled, it's harder, harder, harder than the road that's paved.
The tangled ones again.